it's really, it feels really important.
See, it reminds, Hickman might have a lot of flaws in terms of his ability to finish his own creator-owned books.
Sure.
But when he's been handed a Marvel property, it's always a big deal and always ends up being hugely important. Like his Fantastic Four run, his Secret Warriors run,
Avengers.
Avengers and New Avengers run leading up to Secret Wars. And now he's been given the one property he hasn't touched yet, which is X-Men. And I can't even imagine, because in the X-Men mythos, mutants are coming back.
That happened.
So that, and that's what in Uncanny X-Men, the mutants are returning. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine what Hickman's mind will create in terms of like new characters.
Well, without spoiling any of it, do you remember when, way back when, Cyclops made his extermination team?
Yep.
It's a little bit of that, a little bit of Utopia, a little bit of some other X bits thrown in.
Okay.
So it's very interesting. This book, this series is all about Charles Xavier coming back and setting the tone. Right. Charles Xavier has one panel in this book. The rest of the book is between Magneto and Jean Grey.
Interesting.
And a couple of other, you know, humans popping around. But it feels important. After the last year or so of Uncanny X-Men just being really sad to read.
Yeah, I don't even know, man.
It's like a death march of a book. Like everything that's bad that could have happened to the X-Men happened. This feels triumphant. So
good.
I don't know. We'll see. Power of X isn't due out for like another week or so.
Speaking of comics, Chris.
Yeah, what up?
So we talked about Greg Rucka's incredible Lois Lane.
Sure did.
And how that just is so much in fucking Greg Rucka's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Politics, espionage, intrigue, and a badass female character who don't take no shit from no man.
Yeah. We don't need no man.
Talk about the swerve that then is Matt Fraction's fucking Jimmy Olsen book.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
From the creator of Sex Criminals comes Jimmy Olsen, Superman's pal.
It's, and you know, there was a, I don't know if you recall way back when, it was a Jimmy Olsen two-shot that came out years and years ago. And it's very similar to this, but like they never, it didn't feel like they took it seriously.
Right.
So it just kind of came out and then it went.
Because this is another 12-issue maxi series.
Yes, this and Lois Lane, both. Right.
So, and they're so two tonally different series, but they're such good takes, at least one issue in. Like, I am just sold.
It's interesting because, like, this is very similar to what Marvel did years ago with the, I guess, the silly line of comics like Patsy Walker and She-Hulk and Squirrel Girl and
Howard the Duck.
Yeah, all of them. This is very much in that vein, and DC just doesn't do it.
Which is good. They need to.
Yeah, branching is good. And with what DC announced at Comic-Con, you know, it looks like they are basically just doing whatever.
Yeah.
DC's always been very proud of their continuity, and it seems like now they're just like, no one cares.
I interviewed Steve Orlando about his Martian Manhunter book.
Yes.
And he said, you know, it was like, it was the first time he realized that DC was loosening the reins on everything being such strict continuity. They were like, we never specify where, like, it is canon, but not like canon. Like, we don't ever specify what part of the timeline it's in. He got to do his own take on it and like really mix up his history and his life on Mars. And did you know Jean was a dirty cop?
Yes.
On Mars?
I read the first four issues of Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. He was a fucking dirty cop on Mars.
He was the Vic Mackey of Mars.
Pretty much. It was I don't know. And I asked him about that, like, just because it's not often you're given like free reign over such an iconic character for a universe and getting to put your own spin on it. And he likened it to what Tom King and Mitch Gerards was able to do with Mr. Miracle, which is just like, we're giving you 12 issues. You don't have to worry about canon or continuity or whatever. Just tell the story. Like,
yeah, because I was actually just thinking about Mr. Miracle in that in the correct continuity, Darkseid's still a baby.
Yeah. Like, and, but they don't care. That's not the story.
They super didn't care, and it's a better book for it. So if DC is just entering the not caring era, I think DC is going to come out better for it.
And you know what? Then if they want to make it all canon, they can say that there are alternate timelines and Elseworlds and whatever.
Hyper time.
Fuck.
Yeah. So that's a long way to seg for our opening to the show.
Before you do, because I know where you're going. Can I talk about just how massive this week of comics was?
Yeah.
Haven't read any of them yet, but Powers of X.
House of X.
Sorry. Powers is next week. Batman.
Yeah.
Justice League.
Yeah.
Detective.
I don't get Detective.
Oh, you should. Detective just had an incredible story featuring Lady Arkham.
Mm-hmm.
The Arkham Knight, whatever.
Yeah.
Chris. Did you ever read The White Knight, Batman White Knight?
No, but I've been meaning to go and like read the trade.
Oh, it's fucking so good. And the first issue of the second series of that is here, Curse of the White Knight.
That's exactly why I was going to go back, because I had heard nothing but good things about Curse of the White Knight. So
got JLD. Sadly, the final issue of Wicked and Divine.
Yep. Well, all good things, but it's nice to know that our final collection will be out soon.
Yep. Ascender.
Yeah.
By the team that made it, Descender.
Yep.
Farmhand by our boy Rob Guillory. Magnificent Miss Marvel. Their debut. This is the issue that is debuting her new outfit.
Yep, it's a good issue too.
Amazing Spider-Man, which I already love because the cover is the fucking Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
I saw that on Comixology, and that was the closest I've been interested in a Spider-Man comic in a long time.
Some lame book I got for Caitlin called Shuri. I've never even heard of that.
Shuri?
Never heard of her.
She must suck.
Y'all are assholes.
Now, Caitlin gets two books now. She reads Captain Marvel and she reads Shuri. So that's about right. I pick it up for her like a good husband.
That's about right.
Books of Magic.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
And the motherfucking Freedom Fighters.
Yeah.
Have you been reading that?
Nope.
It's like DC decided to put their spin on the Wolfenstein series.
Well, I like that option because, you know, the Freedom Fighters have always been stuck in World War II for
exactly
feels like forever. So,
but now it's literally a Wolfenstein scenario. The Nazis won. The first Freedom Fighters team was killed, like executed live on television. So this is telling a story of either their descendants or people that have been given the same powers through various means. And it's the new generation of freedom fighters living in like current time, but after the Nazis have taken over America for like 50 years.
Yeah.
And them fighting to bring back Uncle Sam because, you know, he's only as strong as the American spirit. So they have to like commit acts of terrorism for America to revive Uncle Sam. It's pretty dope.
It really makes you wonder how powerful Uncle Sam would be now.
Ugh. He'd be dead. Just cancer.
I also picked up Dial H for Hero.
This week. How is that?
It's better than the last Dial H for Hero series. I'll tell you that.
Hard not to.
I mean, yeah. But it's fun. I have not grown weary of it yet. I also finished The Flash's the year one finale.
Yeah, I was waiting on that trade, so I didn't pick up the single issues.
It's good. It's a nice retelling of Flash's origin from his earliest thing with the turtle. The only issue I have is the issue I have with all Flash books, is that I'm kind of tired of all the separate forces, and I'm kind of drifting a little.
Chris.
I don't care.
What?
What? Whatever. What are you saying?
What don't you care about?
The forces.
Chris.
What?
Guess what they just posted today?
What?
Dragon Ball Kai episode 3.5.
Yeah, I saw that on YouTube before I started the episode.
I haven't watched it yet. Was it good?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Like, hey, I saw it on YouTube as I was putting up the episode.
Talk Comic-Con, baby.
yeah, so it's a good time. It's a good time to talk about the fact that you spent last week in San Diego.
I sure did.
At Comic-Con International. What was
some show? You might have heard of it.
What's the haps? What happened at Comic-Con? What the
happy haps? Well, since this is pretty much, I mean, luckily no real video game news happened this week, like at all. So I don't even feel bad making this the all Comic-Con episode.
Nah.
Because, man, did some shit go down. I mean, here's the thing about going to Comic-Con is that you never actually get to see or hear the announcements of Comic-Con. So everyone's like, oh, the Witcher trailer and the Watchmen trailer. And I'm like, what? They dropped? I don't even know because I don't have reception for 8 hours.
No. You only know about what happened at Comic-Con when you leave Comic-Con and then go on your phone.
Exactly. And can I just tell you, Chris, you know how we always try and guess what the biggest new costume is? Cosplay? Yes. Like, there was that year where it was all Suicide Squad Harleys, and she was everywhere. Then there was the Deadpool era.
Yeah.
Then there was the Overwatch era, where everyone and their mom was doing an Overwatch character. You want to know what this year's is?
Oh, let me see if I can guess. Let me see if I can guess. So, it's something that's pretty big this year that they would make a costume.
Two things.
Is it a Steven Universe?
It is not. Steven Universe had its heyday. That day is over. Same with Adventure Time.
Damn. Oh, She-Ra.
There were a lot of She-Ras. That was big, but there's too many characters people love in She-Ra, so they're all split.
Okay, so there's not one unifying. I can't picture it. Who is it?
Spider-Gwen.
Obviously, yes.
She was Spider-Verse. She's everywhere now. Like, she was already pretty popular. But it's on another level.
Sure.
And then the second one, Chris.
All right.
Stranger Things Scoops Ahoy.
Oh my God, really?
Far and away the most prolific costume at the show.
That dropped like 2 weeks before Comic-Con.
Exactly. But it wasn't until I was talking to my cosplay friend that I realized why it was everywhere. Because not only was it extremely popular and brand new, it was a costume you could buy at Party City. So it didn't matter that it was only 2 weeks old. It was in stores and people could buy it, which is fine. You know what?
No, yeah.
More power to you. You don't. No one says you have to make a costume to be able to enjoy cosplay.
No, do what makes you happy. That's surprising, though.
Dude, Stranger Things Scoops Ahoy, fucking everywhere. Old, young. There was gender bent versions of it. Like there was little kids wearing it. Stranger Things, specifically the Scoops Ahoy. Like, I don't even know if there was other Stranger Things cosplays at the show, but that was everywhere.
Isn't that the thing about Stranger Things is that they just look like kids?
Yeah, but I mean, they have their iconic, like, outfits.
Sure. This is someone who's never seen Stranger Things, and I only know about Scoops Ahoy from Reddit.
Yeah, so that happened.
Okay, well, you know, that's interesting. It's always fun to see how the trends shake out.
Exactly.
I'm going to an anime convention on Sunday. MechaCon.
Yeah, it's this weekend. I'm really sad I can't make it.
Yeah. Callie and I are going to go down. So I'm curious if anyone's going to be brave enough to cosplay on Sunday.
Are you going to New Orleans's brand new Big Easy Con?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I kind of really want to, but it's the day after Halloween, and I'll have already spent my limited time off working Voodoo Fest.
Yeah.
I figured you would, because Brent Spiner and that other dude are going to be there.
You know, I don't go for celebrities. They make me uncomfortable. It's a Troy moment for me.
True, but at the same time, this would probably be the only show you could get away with it, because it's going to be so small.
I know. Well, it's at the convention center, so...
But at the same time, I want it to be good because New Orleans desperately deserves a non-Wizard World comic.
No, Wizard World needs to step their game up, and if this con can do it, then I'm all for it.
Exactly. So anyway, Comic-Con.
So what happened?
I got to do a ton of great interviews with people. It was a lot.
Yes, they're all up on this channel. Mark Wade.
Not all of them yet. They're still going up. We have
Mark Wade, Ed Brubacher.
We got to interview Mark Russell and artist Mike Feehan, the duo that brought us that insane Snagglepuss comic.
Oh, yes.
We got to interview a bunch more Image people, the artist from Black Monday Murders, We got to talk to the creative team for Image's brand new series, Excellence. We almost got Mitch Gerrards. He said, yes, we were about to do it, but then he got called away. And we were so sad. The superstar artist of Mr. Miracle.
I know Greg was very disappointed. He's a very big Mr. Miracle fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, you know how it is with us, Chris. Like, you ask them to do an interview. If they do, that's awesome. If they can't, you tried. Just don't be a dick about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, excuse me, Mitch. Have you not heard of the NOLA Nerdcast? You should be thankful we're talking to you.
Yeah, right. Seriously. Don't
dare you.
Don't be shitty.
No, but we fucking got Mark Waid and Ed Brubaker, like, and yes. Martin Franco. And I mean, just like, and we got, like I said, I mentioned earlier, I got to talk to Steve Orlando. We were close to doing both, oh God, what's his name? No, I'm blanking. The creator of Booster Gold, Dan Juergens.
Yeah.
The creator of Booster Gold was, again, he couldn't do it till Sunday. And unfortunately, Greg had to leave Sunday. Because that's the nature of it. Like, unfortunately, Sunday is the day all these people have the most free time. But it's also the day most people leave. So yeah. It's like a paradox. Like, the reason they have free time is because it's a slower day. But it's also when my cameraman had to go home. So, and same with James Tynion the IV. Both of them were like, I'd love to Sunday. And I'm like, thanks anyway. Love you. Sorry. It's not going to work out. But we don't blame you for that. That's on us.
Yeah, no. It's always touch and go at conventions.
I think my favorite part was when I sent Chris a video from one of our favorite creators.
Chip Zdarsky. You sent me two. Chip Zdarsky. This just goes to show how little I've seen Chip Zdarsky in real life. Because you just sent me a video of him telling me to go fuck myself. And I was like, who is this stranger that Matt found to swear at me? And then he's like, oh, that's Chip Zdarsky. He's like, oh, I love him. I'm okay with that.
Right? Well, it's like, that's half the fun, is that you never realize what these people actually look like. And then you meet them and you're like, okay.
And then Ed Brubaker did the same thing.
Ed Brubaker did the same thing. And I forgot to tell you, I also got John Layman of Chew fame to do one for you.
Oh.
But he made it, his thing was kind of weird because it made it sound like you were there. And he was like, oh, Chris, it's so great to see you. But he was being like sarcastic, but you couldn't tell because he was super high.
Oh, nice. I forgot it's legal in California.
Oh, he made sure to let everyone that he was at his signing know. He's like,
Was there an overwhelming aroma?
There was not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I figured people would be vaping all the way around town.
Oh, Chris, breaking news. I have a message from your wife. She has a joke for the podcast.
Oh, no. What is this?
She just learned that your dog is a blacksmith.
Why is that?
Because as soon as she got home, he made a bolt for the door. Can't even blame me for that. That's your lady.
Hold on 1 second.
Aw, we can't hear what's going on.
Well, you don't want to hear me yelling from here to the other room.
Yeah, I do. What'd she say?
That I love you, so it's okay. Fine. That makes it okay. So, yeah, so Comic-Con, you were running around. You were getting interviews. What's the coolest thing you saw?
Well, for you, I want to say that I was so very proud that I was able to get the interview with Godzilla.
Yes, that was a very big
global product management for Godzilla, and also apparently My Hero Academia, run by the same company. Did you watch the interview?
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to.
Because when he said that, he mentioned that he was like, and also we're in charge of an anime. I don't know if you've heard of it, like My Hero, and my eyes like lit up, and I was like, so Godzilla's already done anime crossovers with Evangelion, Godzilla My Hero Win, and he goes, oh, it's actually already been done.
Yeah, that Godzilla hero's in the movie.
Yeah, apparently, but that's why.
Yeah.
We found out, so apparently that's like canon.
I thought that was like a weird Easter egg. Like, that guy looks really a lot like Godzilla.
Yeah, no, it turns out there's a reason for that. Same studio.
Gotta love it. Anyway,
I originally went for that interview because of you.
Yes.
And then it just ended up being awesome. Like, turns out my ex-boss's wife is like the American liaison for the company. So I almost didn't get the interview because it's like, we're just the Nolan Nerdcast. We're not like a big publication. But then she was like, Matt. And I was like, Ryu. And it was just like one of those moments where it's like, it's who you know.
Yes. Networking reigns supreme.
It was so much fun, though, talking, even with our translator. It was like, man.
Godzilla and My Hero have had a very good year.
Yes. The My Hero panel was legit. They showed the first episode.
I saw the first trailer, the English dub trailer for season 4.
Yes. Chris, have you read ahead?
No, I am deliberately not reading ahead.
Okay, so I won't spoil anything except to say the new villain, Overload.
Yeah.
And the entire plot line that's coming with season 4 is the best My Hero has ever been.
That's the villain with the plague doctor mask.
The plague doctor mask, yes.
Cool. Don't say any more. I want to be excited.
All I'm going to say is you're going to love the big three that we got introduced to at the end of season 3.
Yeah.
Because they take a big focus.
Yeah.
I will say if you're a Todoroki or Bakugo fan, this is not their season.
I couldn't possibly be a fan of Bakugo.
I know. Bakugo is lame. Take that, friend of the show, Remy cosplay.
Not like that. I just don't care for him.
No, but
it's that gift from Arrested Development. I just don't care for Bakugo.
No, but it's just those two characters don't have any plot arcs this season.
Fine and dandy. They had lots of plot arcs in the first three.
You know who does, though? My boy Dark Shadow. What? Jesus.
Are you done?
Yeah.
You know what else did you see?
The panel was amazing was the DuckTales panel.
Yeah, DuckTales got a lot of sway coming out of it with Chip and Dale and the Disney Afternoon basically being reformed.
DuckTales had the best panel that wasn't Marvel in terms of just actual announcements and shock. Was like, yo, I know at the end of last season we introduced that Darkwing Duck's actually real and not just a TV character. Well, guess what, fuckers? Chip and Dale, Tailspin, fucking Daisy's back. We're bringing Goofy for some reason. We're tying in with the movie with the genie, the DuckTales movie. That's canon now.
Like, hate that genie.
Everything. They're just like, this is no longer DuckTales. This is DuckTales featuring the Disney Afternoon. And I'm really hoping that with Goofy, we eventually get Max and that our boy Jason Marsden can voice him again.
Get some work.
Oh, he's working hard.
I know, but like,
I want him to be Max again.
Sure.
Also, then Lin-Manuel Miranda surprised everyone by showing up.
And I'm so jealous!
And I saw him and Caitlin didn't. Suck on that.
Yeah.
So sad!
Don't be sad. He'll be around. Never.
He doesn't meet Alexander Hamilton!
I did meet Alexander Hamilton, and you know what I told him? I was like, I really loved your show. I wish my wife liked it.
Oh, that's
like,
sad.
Oh, that's so disappointing. I can't believe your wife didn't like Hamilton. Taki over there having a fucking normal one.
Yeah, is she gonna have an aneurysm?
Probably.
Maybe.
Chris, can yes. I show you some of the swag I got?
Yes, please. You know I love a good swag bag.
And the swag that you got me that I don't know about.
Well, bring it over. Okay. Come on, Saki. I'm not going anywhere. I got Saki some stuff. Saki got
well, you're supposed to. You're supposed to.
Spend more on Saki than I did myself.
That's a crazy sentence.
I know.
Yay, marriage!
This was a gift from our good friend, you know, the cosplayer and artist Ashley Riot.
Where'd you put all of our art?
Why is there music playing?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I opened a tab to pull up Phase 4, and it started playing an ad, and I was like, where the fuck's that music coming from?
Oh, there you go.
You're just going crazy.
Yes, thank you.
This was a gift to Saki.
Aww.
Saki likes Captain Marvel. She will always accept presents.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the brand Her Universe, Chris?
I have. They had a fashion show. They showed off a lot of cool stuff.
They did. Also, that changing Steven Universe rose quartz dress was the
Ashley
best.
Eckstein Sheetra dress from the suit.
So I got this for Caitlin.
Hey!
Tank top, but the back is so cool.
Because I'm a princess!
Because she's a princess. It's all like glittery gold shiny Sheetra weapons.
We love She-Ra. We stand She-Ra. Oh,
we stand
She-Ra
hard.
We stand She-Ra real hard. You want to see what this is?
Chris,
oh dear, what is-
you want to, all right, I want you to know something. What's the one thing you never do at Comic-Con?
The one thing I never do?
Like, what's the one thing only insane people do at Comic-Con?
Oh, God, stand in Hall H.
Okay, the other insane thing.
I don't know. What is it?
Try and get a toy exclusive from Mattel or Hasbro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's stupid.
Guess what I did for Saki.
What did? Oh, did you get one?
I did.
Let me see it.
The two-pack She-Ra exclusive from Mattel. Shadow Weaver was only ever going to be available at Comic-Con.
Oh, man, that's really pretty.
So, yeah, we got it.
That's great
also,
stuff.
I then got the cast to sign her poster and make a video saying hi to her.
Aw.
He's best husband.
I try. I do my best. All right. Also, Kogasu says hi, Saki.
Hi, Kogasu!
All right. Now, for Matthew,
he's
a little nerdier.
Sure, of course.
I'm getting there. Get out of here.
You told me to be more vocal.
I got the Dragon Quest XI Comic-Con exclusive figure because it's a Dragon Quest hero, but it also comes with a metal slime instead of a blue slime like you fucking peasants have to buy.
Wow.
Oh, Doug, just don't ask what he had to do to get it. Oh, Doug. Oh, Doug, you sweet former child.
I've been with him enough. I know what he did to get it.
Yeah.
Would you believe, sweet talk my way into the front of the line?
Yes, of course I would. What else you got?
All right. Speaking of talking my way into things, so this year San Diego did something new with exclusives where certain exclusives you had to sign up in advance with a portal. And if you were chosen, you were given a QR code that granted you access to buy the toy. And if you weren't chosen through random lottery, shit out of luck. They weren't selling it to normal people.
Right.
Well, one of those companies was friggin'
Funimation.
No. Bandai and Bluefin with their Dragon Ball figures.
Yes.
They had a brand new line of Dragon Ball Z figures and super figures. And if you didn't get a ticket, you didn't get in. Well, I did not get in.
Right.
But I went on preview night and I was like, this is what I said. You ready?
Yeah.
So I know you're supposed to have a QR code to get this because if you were chosen in the lottery. And they're like, yeah. I was like, but what if that wasn't the way it worked?
Oh, my God. I can't believe that worked.
I can't believe it worked either, but I got Goku Black.
God, that's so pretty.
Look how fucking cool he looks. And
he looks-
Comic-Con exclusive comes with the energy in the background for posing.
God, that's really pretty.
I know. So that happened.
That's so stupid that worked.
I know. It's not fair.
I can't believe it worked either.
He got me the last Shadow Weaver.
Yeah, that She-Ra toy was the very last one in stock.
Oh, that's good.
I also got this from the Square Enix store because it's the only thing that features anything not Final Fantasy VII or newer. A pack of sprite-based playing card deck.
Yeah.
And what cool is, it actually has Final Fantasies 1 through 15 on it. But all of the characters are done up like sprites. So, and also they're translucent cards, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, so, it's real hard to get anything from those early Final Fantasies.
I keep trying, and what kills me is that, and also look, like here's Lightning.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, so they converted everyone into it. But Chris, you know the best part?
Yeah.
The Joker.
Is it Kefka?
You're fucking right, it's Kefka, son.
Okay.
So I got that. I got a bunch of books, like new graphic novels and
sure,
stuff.
Sure. It's the time to check it out.
Can we go get the books that you got us?
I brought them over here already. Okay. So, Chris, now it's time for the art.
Art.
And then we'll move on to Q&A.
Okay.
So this is the big one I got. This was probably the most like the most impressive non commission thing.
Oh, that's that? Nice.
You read Mr. Miracle, right?
Yes.
And tell me if you can read that. It was a numbered print run.
1 of 100?
1 of 100, baby.
The that's beautiful. One,
and signed by both of them.
Oh, man, that's good stuff.
Yeah, this was a... And it's like, it feels more authentic because it's on like ripped, like
non-print paper.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Just saying.
That's going to look really nice framed up.
So then we met Art and Franco.
Sure.
And Franco also does art. I was not aware. I thought Art was the artist and Franco was the writer, but turns out they both do art.
Okay.
And Franco, they both do all their commissions in crayon, which I fucking love.
That's very charming.
It's so on brand for them with their Tiny Titan series and stuff. But he drew my boy.
Of course.
Booster. Yeah, also in crayon.
Yeah, I got it.
And then Art drew my entire family. So we got Matthew on the day he interviewed him.
Aw, you look like Calvin.
I do. I look like adult Calvin. And then he drew some lady named Saki drinking wine like a lush.
Yep.
And then he drew Ace.
Oh, what a good boy.
Also, he asked the best question. I said, our boy Ace, and he's like the Bat Hound? I'm like, that's exactly why we named him that, because he draws the Super Pets book. That's the Super Pets artist. Yeah. So, Saki didn't realize that. She just lost her mind a little. All right. After that, Chris.
Yeah.
The Super Pet.
We're on to the commissions.
Okay.
Actually, that's a lie. Not yet.
Where are the books?
They're under. I interviewed an artist. That interview hasn't gone up yet, but he's a concept artist for Disney and stuff, and he does a lot of work with DC as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this print, and all of his work is so wholesome. And I feel like that's what I'm into in my life now, is just get some wholesomeness, you know? Look at this. This page is called just Halloween.
Okay. Let's see here.
I'm going to talk so it pops up on the screen. Those little kids in their costumes, and then... in the background, it's the silhouettes.
Yeah, and I see it.
I just think that's fucking adorbs.
That's very cute. And very well done, too.
Do you remember Ethan Castillo, that 9-year-old kid that was drawing Spider-Man at Comic-Con?
Vaguely.
Well, he's still there. He's fucking 14 now. And he's, like, working alongside actual Marvel artists. Like, he's going to be drawing Spider-Man one day for Marvel.
Okay.
And he gave me a series of prints from Spider-Verse, which I think are really cool. Like, keep in mind that this is like a 9-year old. He was like 9 years old when he first came to Comic-Con. He has his own booth at Artist Alley.
That's incredible.
So there's that. All right. I got this for Saki because she likes Captain Marvel a lot. And it's Captain Marvel, and she's grabbing all the other stages of her life and bringing them along for the ride.
I like the higher, further, faster thing.
Yeah, the artist signed that for her.
Yeah, it's good. Eight.
All right. Now for the true greatness. That's right. A Yamcha. Look how adorable that motherfucker is. I told the artist she could choose any Yamcha, like artist choice. So she went with Dragon Ball Classic Yamcha. Look at him cutting up a fish for Puar.
That is the best version of Yamcha.
Look at that good boy. I say the best version of Yamcha is Wolfang Fist early DBZ Yamcha. The one that makes everyone think he got bodied by a Cyberman, but really he was just taking a power nap.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Then we got...
which is why Funko calls him Dead Yamcha.
A watercolored chibi booster.
That's cute.
This is from the artist that's now doing the DC Superhero Girls series.
Oh, yes.
Agnes.
Okay, yes.
Then my two big commissions. You saw this one because the artist for Darkwing Duck was there. And I had him draw Darkwing Classic meeting new DuckTales Darkwing. And it says, this is all your fault. No, this is all your fault. And then fucking Negaduck in the background, like yelling at them both.
Yep, I see it.
that
good. Makes
me happy. I posted that one online, but the one I haven't posted yet is, so the creator of, not the creator, but the artist of Darkwing Duck was there, but guess who else was there?
Who?
A creator of another character beloved by Disney. Arguably the most popular, not called Mickey Mouse. Who would that be?
Donald Duck.
Donald Duck. The artist that drew the Donald Duck comic books from like the 80s and 90s was there.
Uh-huh.
And I had him do the same thing because I just love the theme of a classic. I asked for classic Donald Duck meeting new Donald Duck. And he loved the idea so much, he took it a step further. And I don't know the name of the cartoon that first debuted Donald Duck, but basically Donald Duck's Steamboat Willie.
Yeah. Like
his version of Steamboat Willie. He threw him in there. So oh. I have the original Donald Duck, classic Donald Duck that we grew up with, and now new DuckTales Donald Duck. Look at this.
Ah.
And it's called Three's a Crowd, and classic Donald Duck is not happy that he's been replaced.
I love classic Donald Duck who looks like an actual duck.
Yeah.
And it's just having a great time.
Yeah, look at him. Like, that's, I had no idea that was what original Donald Duck looked like.
Well, but no, we've spent all our life with middle Donald Duck for forever.
I mean, yeah, our entire life has been the, no, the middle Donald Duck is a new DuckTales Donald Duck. That's our classic.
I could not tell.
He just looks really angry because he's been replaced.
No, I got it. I understand the joke.
And then a couple books. Peter Tomasi was there, one of the writer for Batman 1000 or yeah. Detective 1000. And he was selling the script.
Hey.
So I bought the script for Detective Comics 1000.
That's not bad.
And it's he's telling me to stay out of Gotham.
Yep. I see.
And then Ed Brubaker's book.
Danny Danger and the Fantasticals?
No, so actually the book is called Criminal Bad Weekend.
Uh-huh.
And the story is about a guy, a heist that takes place during Comic-Con. And to celebrate, they gave you an exclusive dust cover jacket that makes the book look like the fictional book that comic creator was famous for in the story.
Okay.
So it's like an old school like pulp comic.
That's neat, because I had not heard of Danny Danger, so I was very confused for a moment.
It's not a real thing.
Yeah.
And that's it. Oh, no. This Sarah Richards book, who apparently it was written by Franco.
The Ghost of the Owl?
Yeah, apparently it was written by Franco from Art and Franco with art by our very own Sarah Richard.
We love her.
We do. And finally, that guy that drew the Halloween comic,
yes,
or the Halloween print, had his own book called Small Dogs. And it's a children's tale about a tiny Chihuahua puppy who never doesn't realize that he's never going to actually grow big. And it's a heartwarming tale about learning to accept who you are.
And guess who it's dedicated to?
Is it dedicated to Caitlin?
It is not.
No. It's dedicated for Ace. To Ace.
Oh, but Ace can't stay small. He's a big boy.
It's the principle of the matter, Chris.
He's not a puppy.
That's the stuffs I got.
That's a pretty good haul.
I could show you the comics I got signed, but there was so many comic artists there and writers, and it was just my favorite thing. I feel like I'm still one of the few people that goes to Comic-Con for the comics.
Well, you know, they're there, but they're like the weirdos who bring in their rolling suitcases.
Yeah, no, I wasn't that guy. I committed to bringing one thing per creator.
Yeah.
Except for Scott Snyder. I brought one Justice League and then the Batman Who Laughs. And then also The Last Night on Earth.
Did you show him the Funko one? Is that the last thing?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. They were selling a Funko Pop of the Batman Who Laughs.
Uh-huh.
And a random amount of them turned out to be signed by both Jock, the cover artist, Greg Capullo, the artist, and Scott Snyder, the writer.
That's not bad.
So I got a triple signed Funko Pop, but I didn't buy that one. That one just happened.
That's great. Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of some stories.
Well, did you go eat any of the pop-up cafes?
No, I didn't even see pop-up cafes.
You interviewed Gazura.
Yeah, we talked about that already.
We talked about that. God, that's interesting because every year the area in the Gaslight District, they always have something cafe-wise.
Isn't that the interdimensional?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. This year was a Good Place themed. NBC, like, everything was a themed NBC show.
Okay. So
they had a place called they renamed the store, the restaurant, the International Hole of Pancakes, and everything was Good Place themed.
Okay.
Which I know it doesn't mean much to you because you still haven't started the show.
No, I haven't, but you know.
Damn it, Chris.
It's the thought that counts.
Chris, is this going to end up being another, like, one of those other shows where I pester you until you watch and then you go, God damn it, it's really fucking good. I hate you, Matthew.
Probably. Let's not go into that. Okay. Let's not go into that. Well, tired of hearing about how right you are all the time.
Well, then why don't you do it before it becomes that scenario?
Because now it's part of the game.
Chris, let me be right. Let me tell you how good of a show it is. Then it's not Matt winning, it's Saki.
Good point. I do like a Matt not victory and a Saki victory.
I'm just saying. It could be me.
It could be, but it's not.
Anyway, Kogasu's in chat. Doug's in chat. We're talking to Comic-Con San Diego. I was just trying to recap all the stuff I did. Trying to think of some of the other cool stuff that went down because, the Marvel booth was an absolute shit show because they were doing a signing for the Avengers and they had like the Russo brothers were there doing a signing and every morning they just gave out a limited amount of tickets and then Saturday everyone had to show up and oh my God. Oh, such a shit show.
But I guess this is a good time to talk about Phase 4.
Yes. So Phase 4.
So let me pull this up. Because, Marvel's big thing in Hall H, they announced their slate of upcoming films.
That is correct.
Phase 4. We don't have a whole lot of overline, but there's some interesting titles they threw out.
Yes. Why don't you point, because I don't have the picture up.
I got it. We have Black Widow coming out in 2020, with her looks like fighting Taskmaster of all people.
Oh, so
pretty cool.
That Taskmaster design looks so good.
It does. We have the long rumored Eternals movie, which, sure.
Hey, that cast looks fucking strong.
It's a strong, strong cast. We have Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Which is bothering me because if Netflix hadn't fucked it up, that would be an Iron Fist movie.
Yeah, it sure would have, but they did.
Can you imagine, the Mandarin would try and, break into Kunlun to steal the power of Shenlong?
Yeah, but he didn't. So. We have Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, the first horror-based MCU movie.
Yeah, that's fascinating. They're going to make a scary fucking superhero movie.
And you know what? A-plus title.
Of course.
Followed up by Thor, Love and Thunder, which is also A-plus title.
The big one. Taika coming back.
To do Jason Aaron's Lady Thor run.
It is Mighty Thor, Chris. Get your sexism out of here.
Wow.
The irony being that Chris is the biggest Jason Aaron Lady Thor fan there is.
Wow. Rude. So we Natalie Portman, they drove a dump truck of money to her house, and she is going to be Thor.
Well, apparently, from what I could tell, a lot of it has to do with Taika being the director again. Because I was reading the story of how back in Thor 2, guess who Natalie Portman was petitioning to direct?
Who?
Patty Jenkins. She was being pegged to be the director, and this was pre-Wonder Woman by a country mile. But at the time, the person in charge of Marvel was that MAGA dude, Ike Perlmutter. Yeah. And he was having none of it having a woman direct one of his films. And apparently it was that interaction that made Natalie Portman just be done with the MCU.
Yeah. But
it's nice to see that she's coming back because I hope she does well because Natalie Portman's a great actress. And I really want her to enjoy what she's doing.
And if Taika brings maybe a third of the enjoyment that Ragnarok had into Love and Thunder, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
But also, it's worth pointing out that Ragnarok would not have been as good if Jane was in it.
Of course.
I want to excuse me. I also want to say, I don't know if you saw the trailer for Taika's next movie coming out called Jojo Rabbit.
Yes.
The what?
Yes.
Hold on. It's called Jojo Rabbit.
Okay.
It's the story of a boy who gets bullied, and his imaginary friend is Hitler because he's a Hitler youth.
Yup.
And Taika plays Hitler.
Yup.
Huh. It's,
I saw the trailer for it. It's weird as fuck.
Yup.
All right, I'm down. I'm here for it.
Huh?
I'm here for it.
Yeah. So then we have the Disney Plus TV series coming out, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier with Baron Zemo in full mask.
Chris, you didn't mention Blade.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Well, you went.
Also, Blade's not on this list for some reason.
We'll talk Blade because let's do movies and then move on to the TV.
Blade by Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing Blade again.
The original is coming back to show everyone how it's motherfucking done.
Some motherfuckers are always ice skating uphill.
Oh, good quote.
The single greatest line in film. So they announced that. So that's exciting. I don't quite know what to make of it, but, you know, it's cool. The Falcon and Winter Soldier with Baron Zemo back as the villain.
Yeah.
WandaVision, which is directly spun out of the Multiverse of Madness.
Did not know that. Cool.
Loki picking up where the new timeline is with Loki grabbing the Power Stone and piecing out. What If, which is going to be animated, is going to have the voice of the actors doing some roles.
Yes, Queen.
And Hawkeye, which is basically just going to do Matt Fraction's run with Kate Bishop.
And I am okay with that.
Yep. So they announced a lot. 2021 is going to be a busy fucking year. 7 of these things are coming out.
Oh, it's going to be so good, though. I'm so excited. Disney Plus, yeet, yeet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm trying to be cool and hip, Chris.
So you're saying yeet, yeet?
Yeah, yeet.
That does not make you cool, by the way.
Chris, it makes me lit AF, fam.
Oh my god, shut up. Lit shut up, Meg.
AF. Mother.
But we also, you know, we don't have, DC did not have anything else to really announce film-wise, you know.
They didn't. Wonder Woman. They didn't show anything. No Wonder Woman?
No Aquaman 2?
We got a trailer for HBO's Watchmen, but that's more HBO than DC.
Which is interesting in and of itself because that show looks more interesting than I thought it would be.
Agreed.
Particularly the end of the Comic-Con trailer. Mm-hmm. Which also makes me wonder if any of Doomsday Clock will get filtered through. I'm thinking no, but you never know. The CW verse continues on. We have some knowledge of Crisis. Brandon Routh is
coming back.
Brandon Routh is going to be Superman again,
which is weird because he's already playing a character in the crossover.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be Kingdom Come Superman too, based on what he was wearing at the panel.
Yep.
Did
you see that Tom Welling is coming?
No, as what?
And as Superman.
No, really?
As another Superman, there's going to be multiple Supermen, and Linda Carter is going to be Wonder Woman.
All I saw on my feed was Brandon Routh this and Brandon Routh that, and then no one else.
They haven't been confirmed yet, but apparently they are in talks.
Man, you know what? Go big for Crisis.
That's what I'm saying.
Do it. I don't care.
Because it's the last year of Arrow, so it's the last year you're going to be able to do these massive crossovers. Just fucking live your best life.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you're aware, but Supergirl has pants this season.
Pants?
She's getting rid of her skirt for pants.
Not my Supergirl.
Well, she is your Supergirl. But she's be pantsed.
She's be pantsed?
Yeah.
Chris, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to say.
Pants in my superhero TV show?
We have the new trailer for She-Ra season 3 coming soon.
She-Ra. Yeah, so there's lots of trailers, lots of TV, lots of movies.
We have the new trailer for the Steven Universe movie.
Steven has a neck.
He has a neck, which is the most shocking thing to come out of all of Comic-Con.
Chris.
What?
Sir. Sir.
Yeah.
I need to tell you something. It's very important.
Tell me.
AT&T is fucking Disney up.
How so?
So they the rumors are that AT&T is now in charge because they bought out WB.
Okay.
Or they merged with Warner Brothers or whatever. AT&T is the one calling the shots now.
Sure.
And they are basically just all like Disney. DC is not profitable enough, even though they are. They're just not profitable enough.
Uh-huh.
So you know what they did? And it just ruined the DC booth. Like, I was barely there. They combined Warner Brothers with DC. They were not separate. There was no Warner Brothers booth in the TV area and then DC by the comics.
Yeah.
DC did not have a booth. It was the Warner Brothers booth that happened to sometimes have a comic book signing.
That's sad.
There was no dedicated area to meet the comic creators.
Yeah.
Everything was just focused on the TV stuff. Like, oh, here's Riverdale. Oh, here's Veronica Mars. Oh, here's this. Oh, here's that. But comics at Comic-Con from one of the literal big two did not exist.
That's and really I was
super frustrated about that.
Yeah.
And the few times there were comic book signings was at the same time as a TV show signing. And so you couldn't even get to what you wanted to do because they would cap it off for security reasons.
Ugh.
It was really unfortunate, especially considering how Image and Marvel stepped up their booths. And then DC didn't even exist in the comic area.
That's very disheartening. And I think Warner, I think AT&T is taking the wrong lessons.
Yeah. They is.
Yeah. Yeah, they announced I think the week you were leaving, the new Warner Brothers streaming service, which is not going to replace DC Universe, but is gonna basically replace DC Universe.
I think that's a mistake. Full DC Universe into it. Having them be two separate subscriptions is dumb. It splits your user base. And you know DC Universe is going to get the short end of the stick for budget and, like, everything.
It already is with the death of Swamp Thing.
Right, and apparently Swamp Thing's, like, a critical darling, but it's, like, it's hamstringed by the fact that you know that they already cut the season short and it's canceled. So it's, like, it doesn't matter how fucking good it is.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing I have is, like, from multiple sources, people whose opinion I respect are like, yo, Swamp Thing is great with a capital G, but it's over. And it only got 12 episodes, and who cares? Like, it's dead.
And that's what sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's a bad time.
Shit.
So if Young Justice had not been renewed for a fourth season, I would have predicted the end of the DC streaming app by December.
Yeah. But luckily, we're getting Young Justice Season 4.
Great. Very happy.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all I have for Comic-Con.
Yeah, I mean, that's all that happened here.
It's been wild. It was a great time. It was chaotic and busy and crazy, but in all the best ways.
Yeah. So I'm glad you had a good time. Maybe next year I can come with you.
I would love that.
If everything permits, it's getting harder the older we get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you're a loser.
All right, calm down. Next week is our final YouTube show in this format.
Yep. Times are changing, and we got to change with them.
Yeah, so Google Hangouts going away. The easiest way to do this show is leaving. So what does that mean? Hopefully we'll have an answer next week. But next week we'll have a big blowout extravaganza as we can do from four webcams pointing in our office.
Huzzah!
Yeah. All right, so next week, same time, same place. Better stories, though.
Same nerds?
Yeah, except maybe Josh will be back.
Aw. Yeah, I'm kind of sad. Like, Doug, I get. He's still a brand new baby dad.
He's still on unpaid paternity leave from us.
Yeah.
Which, just like the rest of the U.S., unpaid paternity leave.
And it'll be short-lived.
Ha-ha. No, but Josh went to Michigan or some shit.
Like a fucking nerd. That's where his lady's from.
Whatever. Obviously, hearing you talk about the things you bought at San Diego is more important.
Hey, I was originally just going to talk about the stuff I got sake because it was cool and nerdy. But then I kind of was like, you know what, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go all in.
Exactly. All right.
Go on our YouTube channel and look at the the interviews as they pop up. We got about half of them on there. We got some big ones still to come. Watch the Godzilla one, because it's really fun when you ask a Japanese executive whether he likes cake or pie better.
I have to find out the answer, because I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, Chris.
Which one is more honorable?
Chris, I will tell you that Ed Brubaker thinks people that like cake are fucking psychos.
Wow. Everything I thought about Ed Brubaker is now tainted.
Also, Ed Brubaker was a fountain of fucking greatness. Okay? Like, yeah. We had to cut part of his interview because we didn't know if it was cool to post it. Like, he just was talking and we're like, cool. But we wanted to play it safe. So it's a separate clip that I will share with you and other people if they ask, but I didn't want to like blast it online because it's basically Brubaker explained why he would never work for Marvel again.
Wow. Okay. I cannot wait to see that.
Fucking fascinating. And he also told us how DC ruined Gotham, the TV show.
You told me about this.
Eventually being like fun in its own way. It was supposed to be a Gotham Central show, and it was that up to 2 weeks before launch, when the executives were like, they got nervous at the idea of a Batman show without Batman. They're like, nope, got to be a Batman.
Yeah. I remember hearing that rumor when Gotham was about to premiere, but I figured it was a rumor and put no stock in it.
Because you can see it in the first episode.
Yes.
Very focused on the cops and not the mythos of Batman.
And then it got weird and really kind of enjoyable, but very weird.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. We'll be back next week.
We shall. See you there, my lovelies.